So we've looked this morning at the idea that God is calling. God calling. And we've seen a lot of different examples of where people are at when they receive a call from God. So the question I ask each one of you this morning is, where will you be when God calls you? Now, in your lives already, I'm sure many of you have already received that call from God and are on that journey and have followed and responded, hopefully not like a lot of the characters in the play, but actually have listened to the voice of God and have responded appropriately. I wonder if we can watch a very short video just now, and this is where Jesus calls some of his disciples. And it's a really powerful video. It's taken from the TV series The Chosen, and Jesus calls a few of his disciples.
Put that down for a catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. We've been doing this all night. Nothing. All right. Your word.
My brother and the baptizer. You are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, I'm sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me.
I will.
You as well. Yes, you, James and John, come, follow me.
I'll take the fish into market and settle up Simon's debt. I'll get some help to fill both of these boats.
Are you sure?
Yes, go.
What will you tell Ima?
We've just been called by the man we prayed for our entire lives. And you ask me, what will I say when you miss supper? Go, now.
I love the scene, how it really opens up, kind of that interaction between some of the disciples there and Jesus calling them. So I just want to really kind of like rush through these points this morning, because I know we're kind of going over time. But we are called today to follow. But calling to follow means a couple of extra little different things. We saw there in the video that the James and John, they are called and they left the fish behind. They left almost their responsibilities to follow Jesus. Peter, I mean, the kind of like look there is that he is leaving his trade behind as well to follow Jesus. And I just really want to ask some questions. What does it mean to follow Jesus now? We know that in our lives, you know, we have all sorts of different distractions that are going on. And some of the things that were touched on in the play, things that will distract us and grab our attention from that call that God is calling us to answer and to follow him. And ultimately, following Jesus means to follow his example. We're called to leave things behind. Jesus calls his followers to leave things behind. And the response of the sons of Zebedee and of Peter there is a little bit different when we look at the reaction of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. He is asked to leave things behind. He's listened to the call of Jesus, but he is not willing to leave things behind. But today there will be things that God will ask us to leave things behind, things that we may miss, things that we maybe value. But actually, there's so much that Jesus asks us to leave behind that is so much better for us. God calls us to leave behind unkindness. He asks us to leave behind greed, bitterness, addiction, broken relationships, hurt, division. So many things that Jesus, when we follow him, we leave things behind. And the kind of weight and the grasp of our past life is behind us. Doesn't mean it's gone, but it's behind us, and we're following Jesus in a new direction. We're called to live differently, living differently from where we were before. The response of some of the people in the play is to act differently when we hear God's call. Now, the girls that were dancing, they didn't even really hear the call. We saw the person, the socialite, who was just too busy with everything else. The worries and the financial distractions, being too involved with trying to be right and kind of take hold of kind of like misogynistic and sexist views, even things we don't want to leave behind. But Jesus is calling us to leave those things behind and calling us to live differently. We're going through in our morning services a series in Acts, and when I looked at the kind of the passage that we had this morning, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to kind of bring that into the message this morning. But I think that what the whole point of Acts is that it is a response of people to God's call on their life. That the whole of Acts is exactly that. So actually, when we read in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31, the believers are praying to God. And I'll read it. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They responded to the call that God had on their lives. And the call ultimately is action and boldness, to respond, to actually do something differently, and boldness to do so. And that comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, we're called to call others. That whole idea that we're the people in the play were called to pray for somebody else sets that kind of example that when we're called to follow Jesus, we're not called to be singular, individual, island kind of people, but actually we're called together to follow. And part of that is the responsibility to care for others and to pray for others. And we're called to call others. That's through discipleship. Again, Jesus called some of the disciples and they responded, they followed. Discipleship is the method by which Jesus calls the church to grow. Now, I'm sure for most of us, the reason we're in church today is because we've been called to come into church by somebody else. I think it's very, very rare, but not impossible, that we just come by our own kind of thought. It's from another testimony or an example or a question or a story from somebody else. And that is the means by which God uses to grow the church. So how are we calling others to discipleship in our walk with Jesus? It's an open question. Are we following Jesus? Are we listening to his continual leading in our lives? Do we respond to others with love and care? When we follow Jesus, ultimately our aim is to do good. That is the response of it. We are given salvation through Jesus Christ, but the response is to follow, and in following Jesus, we're doing good. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." There are so many things that will distract and try and grab our attention, many of them good things, but ultimately good things are when we are following Jesus. So I leave you with this last question. God's calling you this morning. What's your response?